Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on what? The American Voice Radio Network. Today's date's April 11, 2024. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most still don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's what the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, as it always is, in the world. Get out of the world. Don't let the world into your church, into your life, into your family. Look to that holy city. Look to that one who suffered and died for you. Did you not hear that sound of the shofar? You need to really heed the warning and get right now before it's too late. Please make the choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, as normal, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message, and I'll just give you straight out my cell phone number, and yes, it's my real cell phone, 316-619-4886. Text me first so I know you're not a robocall. So, you can find all the breaking news about the Wichita Mission Church, everything you want to know about this ministry, just about, at prophecyhour.com. Is there something that you still want to know? Just call me or text me. We are a live radio program which simulcast live on the net internationally. So many independent FM stations, four different MP3 streams, Quick, Rumble, Phone Bridge, just a whole bunch of stuff, and we got even more coming. We're going to break loose within May. On another note, let's thank our listener bases, places like Malmo, Sweden, Port Aquari, Australia, Windsor, Canada, and of course the United States, such as Sherman, Oklahoma, Little Rock, Arkansas, Orlando, Florida, and a whole bunch more. Of course, last week, Hutchinson, Kansas, you was the largest group of listeners to our podcast archives at our site at branch.podomatic.com. Yeah, there's that podcast thing again. Anyway, text me and let me know where you're hailing from if you so choose. I won't use your phone number for anything other than just I want to know where you're coming from. Anyway, dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will, please, Father, and not our will. And please give everyone out there ears and wish to hear and understand the truth. So, Father Yahweh and your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty, mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Wow. Tonight we got... This is about my most favorite time of the month. I got Pastor Carl Gallups is coming on with us, and I can see that he's on the other line right now. He has a dynamite thing that I just stumbled across, and I'm praying that he'll be able to give that or will give that tonight. But he is a best-selling author, senior pastor since 1987. He's talk radio host nationally, internationally, TV, radio guest commentator. Everybody's blessed to have him on with them whenever we can, right? Okay, he's a former decorated Florida law enforcement officer, founder of P.P. Simmons News and Ministry Network, and he's also a member of the Board of Regents at the University of Mobile in Mobile, Alabama. See, they trust him even outside of the church, yuck, yuck. Anyway, Carl has written 12 books now, but he's helped out on a lot of other books. He's written chapters for him and even did some ghostwriting out there, so he's writing all the time, it looks like. These 12 books I'm going to mention are The Rabbi That Found Messiah, The Magic Man in the Sky, Final Warning, Be Thou Prepared, When the Lion Roars, Gods and Thrones, Gods of Ground Zero, The Rabbi, The Secret Message and the Identity of Messiah, Gods of the Final Kingdom, Masquerade, Masquerade revealed some stuff about COVID ahead of time. Book's got a lot of prophecy in it. Carl's got a lot of prophecy in him, you just don't want to admit it. Anyway, The Summoning, Glimpses of Glory, in his newest book, The Yeshua Protocol, which is really dynamite and really gives you something to show people that's indisputable about the word of Yahweh, that Once people see those things, then they got to, what? Then they got to believe that you're a word of Yahweh, right? Okay, welcome, Pastor Carl. Are you there with me?
I am. I'm texting your producer right now, so please forgive me. I just pushed send. So now you have my attention. I heard all of the lies. I mean, nice things you just said about me. And I appreciate it. I was right in the middle of sending a little message. But anyway, Pastor Dan, it's always so great to be with you, brother.
Well, amen. You really, you know what? I've said this, and I want to say this to people and to you. You know, folks, over the years that Pastor Carl has been on here with me, I've said many times, if you look for a mainstream pastor, I don't consider myself mainstream, but if you look for a mainstream pastor, you need a pastor like Carl Gallup's. Well, you know what, folks? Not that he needed to renew my faith in him in any way, shape, or form. Today, I wasn't quite sure what I was going to talk with him about. And so, as normal, I go to his webpage and I kind of scan around, see what he's got over there. And I came across this video, your video of the week, that is called The Cold Hard Facts. And so I start listening to it, and at the first of it, you know, he's alluding to Mark 7, I think it was, for sure, and talking about Yeshua when he was talking with the Pharisees and basically rabbis, creating all the rules, or what I preach against. I always say that Yeshua wasn't preaching against the law of the Torah. What he was preaching against was all the junk that they built around the, you know, what we call fences. They built fences around the commandment. And Carl used the example of, you know, Sabbath day. Well, then Carl moved on to something else, a subject that I really didn't know deep down how he felt about it, nor did I know that basically, you know, this is a very touchy subject that most people won't even, mainstream preachers, they won't touch, and they just go along with it. And it just blew me away. Now, I only got to listen to the first 25 minutes of it, but I'm so greatly impressed, and I'm praying that Carl will share with us some of these cold, hard facts. Back to you, Carl.
Oh, man, thank you for asking me. I would love to. What a beautiful forum to do this on. And I'm begging you, Dan, and I know you will. I don't have to beg you. Please listen to the last 25 minutes as well, because, brother, there's a shock ending to it.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
I can't wait. Actually, let me butt in. What I'm going to do is I looked and seen how long it was, and tomorrow evening, at our, you know, I have Sabbath service on Friday nights, right? Okay. Well, sometimes we do videos and things. This is tomorrow night's teaching for everybody. Back to you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's an hour and 15 minutes, I think, in video time. I can tell you it goes by much quicker than that. And it's not because I'm such a good preacher or anything like that. It's just the riveting nature of what it's all about. And not only do I bring the contextual word, then right up to the end, just drop some stuff on you that just blows people away. But I take you to scholarly renowned, scholastically renowned scholars, linguists, archaeologists, historians, that back up everything I'm saying. And anyway, I can talk about a lot of it. I would have to do it tonight off my head. In other words, I don't have notes in front of me. Yeah. I don't preach with notes anyway. You know that. But yeah. But sometimes I will read stuff to the people. Like I read an edict that Constantine gave. I read it. And the people were shocked. They said they had no idea that that's what was in that edict. And I read it word for word. I read it out of Zev's book. By the way, Zev, you got to get Zev's latest book, folks, Blood Alliance. He's got 4 or 5 chapters on what I preached on Sunday morning. But I've been preaching this for 40 years and beating my head up a brick wall. But now in these days, with something our illustrious president did just a few weeks ago, and then tying it in to the Word of God and historical sources and what's actually happening prophetically in the churches today, this message again, it's not about me or how I preached it, but I'm just telling you, the truth of this message will blow your audience away. A lot of your audience knows a bunch of this, maybe all of it, but the way I build it, it's like a... I started in the beginning, and I don't think this made it to the edited form, but the live form, I told the people when I got up, I said, look, I was kind of joking. I had on a black suit and a white shirt and a blue tie. Well, that's really a nice, classy, classical look. It's also the look that most law enforcement and lawyers have, you know. And so I got up and I said, folks, but when I came in this morning, I had two people say, Pastor, you look like a lawyer this morning. And they did. And I said, I looked into the camera because we stream live to the world. I said, I apologize to you lawyers out there. I know that was an insult to you. You know? And I said, but here's the case. I said, if you think I look like a lawyer, wait till y'all hear my sermon this morning.
Yeah.
And so what I told him was, I said, the bottom line is, I'm going to be a lawyer. I'm going to present a case. And I told him, I said, hang in here with me. I'm building this case from beginning to end, and the end will be like my closing argument, and it will be powerful. And I said, now you're not the jury. You are just witnesses to this, because the judge and the jury is Jesus Christ. And the Word of God says it about the topic of my message. It says that He is the judge and is going to bring His judgment on this very thing. The Bible says that, I promise you, in black and white. I'm not making it up. That's one of the surprise endings of this message. So, yes, the cold, hard facts. How much do you want me to do on this, brother? I mean, I can start at the beginning and give your folks the 15, 20-minute version, and then we'll still have plenty of time to talk about it, although I really laid it out in about an hour and 12 minutes. You can put it on your... You don't have to watch me if you want to see me. I'm a handsome fella, but if you don't... I'm kidding. I am kidding. I'm an old man. But hey, if you can just listen going down the road. A lot of people do that, you know. They'll listen to it like a podcast. There's that word again. And so you can just listen to it if you're, you know, if you're at home cleaning house, washing dishes, doing the laundry. If you're driving down the road, I urge people, this might be one of the most important messages in your life and for this day and for your church and for the church ever. Yeah. And I don't mean my sermon. I mean the message from God's Word and from history and from the scholars and from what's really happening right up to an edict from the White House a few days ago. Let me hush and see if you want to weigh in, and then I'll jump in it wherever you want me to.
Okay, I would like you to just do it as you're led to do it. The only thing that I would like for you to address at some point in this is that there is a lot of people that annoyingly are, you know, subject to this. You know, they don't have the truth that you're putting out. But I still believe that they are saved. You know, I'm not like a lot of people that will
well,
because they're doing that, they're unsaved. You know, you might give some encouragement to those folks that don't know the truth. But I want you to do this from your heart.
Go. Okay, I certainly will. I did that Sunday morning, and you've probably heard that. That might be why you're saying that, because often when you hear preaching on this, it's, you know, fire and brimstone. You're all going to hell if you don't believe what I'm telling you. I don't preach that way. And I mean, I don't cover anything up, and I certainly don't water anything down. I preach on stuff that a lot of churches won't preach on. So, but no, I always keep in mind, you know, I haven't always been a pastor, brother. I was a cop and, you know, patrol officer and criminal investigator for 10 years and, in Florida, in two different sheriff's offices under three different sheriffs. I mean, I've been in the tough spots of life with people, and now a pastor for all these years. I have a real heart for hurting, confused, lied to, and deceived people, especially the church now, especially born-again believers who love Jesus. And they do a lot of things, watch this, out of pure tradition. And the tradition is so old and so thick and so deep, and they've heard it so many times, they think it is compatible with the Word of God. And not only is it not, but God says, I'm bringing my wrath because of this very thing. One of the reasons is this very thing, and I can prove it as I speak to your people. And so, yes, I will be glad to be gracious. You don't have to worry about that, brother. Well, okay. Folks, yeah, go ahead. You say something, Dan.
No, I was just going to say amen and amen. Go for it, Carl. I'm ready.
Okay. Well, I just called the sermon the cold, hard facts. Folks, listen, Pastor Dan is right. I did start off with Mark chapter 7, where Jesus confronts the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. That would be like the rabbis, you know, in the synagogues. And so he was confronting them because they were getting on to him. Why don't your disciples wash their hands like we do before they eat? Now, this doesn't mean washing hands and getting clean. I mean, you're supposed to do that. I mean, you'll spread germs. No, they were talking, and Mark even puts parentheses in, well, in the Greek it doesn't do that, but he says it parenthetically, that he was talking about the ritualistic washing of the hands, the traditions that the rabbis and Pharisees had developed and had been living down through the years. And in these things, their rules and regulations were not even found in the Bible. But the point Jesus is making is, you've done these things so long, you think it's in the Word of God, and it's not. You think it's okay, but it's not. And you lord it over the people with it. Now you're lording it over me and my disciples. Now, he said, they said, you don't wash your hands. Why don't you follow the rituals and the traditions of the elders? Now, I'm going to tell you something, brother. If Jesus doesn't follow something, then I'm not going to follow it. You understand? And so they were getting on to him for not doing that. Then he confronted them, and he says, why you nullify the Word of God? Listen, that word nullify, I said in my sermon, it basically, if you want to put it in a more crass way, it basically means, why do you spit on the Word of God by holding to your traditions? In other words, you're making the traditions equal to or higher than the clear Word of God. Okay, now, so that's how I started it. And then I just said, folks, you know, we can get on to those Jews. I mean, listen, you go all the way. I mentioned this in my message. I don't know where you left off, so I'm just going to keep going. But in my message, I talked about, even to this day, the Orthodox Jews. And it breaks my heart, brother, that Rosh Hashanah, the whole world, you know, pays attention when the Jewish New Year in September is Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is Hebrew. It means the head of the year, if you will. That's how it would roughly translate into English, the head of the year. The Jewish New Year, everybody says. Well, there are a lot of Jews in Israel saying, what are you talking about? The Jewish New Year, where did that come from? Well, it's tradition. Well, what do you mean it's tradition? I mean, the whole world celebrates New Year January 1st. Well, that's from the Gregorian calendar, and it did not come out of the Hebrew culture. So what's the Hebrew New Year? Exodus 12 plainly tells us the first day of the month of Nisan, which falls in March or April of the Gregorian calendar, and it says on the 10th day you are to choose your lamb, on the 14th day slaughter it, and then at the evening of the 14th, which would be early the 15th, because they went from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m., then you are to sit down and eat your Passover meal, and the Passover shall be the first feast of the seven feasts, starting in your first month of the year. That should be the Hebrew calendar that they should be celebrating, but they don't. They go to September, right about the time of what we would call the Feast of the Trumpets, or in Hebrew, Yom Turah, which means the Day of Blasting. And what is that? Well, it falls into the seven feasts, and it goes into the cycle of the feast, but fulfilled in Jesus, it is about Jesus saying, and with a loud shout from heaven and the blasting of a trumpet, the Son of Man will send his angels and gather his elect. Paul says, behold, I'll tell you a mystery. We will not all die. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed at the sounding of the last trumpet. And that comes before the Feast of Atonement, which means if you're under the blood of the great high priest and all that he's done, and you're under the blood of the Lamb and is taken into the Holy Holies in the proper place, then Israel is saved again for another year as under God's protection, and or the people are who've repented before the Lord. So that's the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, and the trumpets get you ready for that. It's warning you, this day is approaching. The 10 days of awe the Jews talk about now. Okay, but watch. So why are they doing this? That's the Feast of Trumpets. It has nothing to do with the New Year. Why do they celebrate it? Watch this, brother. It is, and listen, I read to my pulpit, to my congregation from the pulpit, from a Jewish professor in the Hebrew University of Jerusalem who wrote about this and backed it up. Everything I'm saying is backed up by a plethora, a myriad of credible, renowned scholars, okay? So I don't want to say that 100 times tonight, so I'm just saying it now. Do we need to take a break, brother, before I reveal this, or can I do this and then go to a break?
You can probably do. We got about 3 minutes before
okay,
break.
Okay, let me just reveal this, and then I'll get on with where I'm really going. But this is important. This is a part of it. So, you know, so if we talk about traditions in the Christian church, and that's what I'm going to get to. But, and I'm, there's going to be some startling things I'm going to tell your people. I promise almost everybody will learn some things they might not have known before. But the Jews, in September, celebrate the New Year. That came from their Babylonian captivity. It came out of Babylon, brother. It came out of Babylon. They were taken into the land. The Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians had killed a bunch of Jews. They'd killed a bunch of the kids. They took the pretty ones, the smart ones, the handsome ones, and took them into captivity like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego tried to turn them into a bunch of pagans. And but in the meantime, their gods, Marduk, Ishtar, Astarte, all of these gods, these Babylonian gods, which really are more ancient than the Babylonian Empire, and Baal too, they say that their gods told them that it was in that time of the year when God created the, you know, Marduk and Ishtar created the, you know, the earth, the creation. Was done by these pagan gods, and so they celebrated their New Year right then. Now, the Jews were in captivity. They just wanted to stay alive. They also saw that that fell very close to the Feast of Trumpets. So one of the things the Babylonians did, they had parades, and they blew trumpets all over the town. So the Jews joined in with them because that would help the Babylonians think that, look, these Jews are finally getting into Babylonian culture, when the whole time the Jews were basically just trying to stay alive and pretend like they were a part of it, and at the same time they, wink, wink, were celebrating their Feast of Trumpets. Okay, and that's where it came from. To this day it lives, and most of the Jews in Israel don't even know about this. This is why this professor had to write about it. And so this is one of those things that came out of Babylon that the Jews celebrate before the world today, but most Jews cannot tell you why they're celebrating the New Year in September. Does that make sense, brother?
Makes absolute sense, and okay. That's a real blessing for you to bring that forward. There's quite a few things that they picked up from Babylon. Carl, I got to go to break. Okay. Tell them where they can find you. We'll come back and we'll get right into this.
Yeah, I haven't even gone where I'm going to go, but that was important to say. Yes, I'm at carlgallups.com, CarlGallups, carlgallups.com. Thank you, brother.
Folks, and I really want you to get over there, and I want you to listen to this thing in its entirety. The cold hard facts, you see it on this page, you pull it up, you scroll down, and it's the video of the week, I guess it's called, but you need to get, I really want you to share it with everybody. I already put it out on Facebook a little while ago. All right, we got to go to a break. We'll be right back.
Pastor Dan will be right back. In this time of the social and spiritual breakdown of America and the world, in these prophetic end times, God is calling multitudes of Christians to the Ozarks and other safe havens around the world to survive so they can spread the gospel. The Ark Haven Intentional Neighbors Vision is to prepare Christians physically, mentally, and spiritually for these end times. Thousands are coming to the Ozark Mountains in Arkansas and Missouri, where even the CIA says it's one of the safest places on earth. The Intentional Neighbors concept allows Christian neighbors to own adjacent land to each other so they can aid and help each other. The community is exploding with nurses, a doctor, and other professionals, as well as many others. If you cannot afford to buy a house, you can rent a house. Call 479
479-1789. That's 479-502-1789. Or visit arkhaven.org. That's arkhaven.org. Tell them Pastor Dan sent you.
In Genesis 41, tells a story of Pharaoh having a dream of 7 fat ears of corn, followed by 7 blasted ones, meaning there's 7 years of plenty, and then there was 7 years of famine following. We are now in 7 years of famine once again, starting September 25th of 2021. Joseph's Kitchen is about getting actual wheat berries, putting them through a mill, takes 30 seconds, putting it along with the ingredients into a bread machine, pushing a button, 2 hours, 20 minutes later, you have a nice steaming hot loaf of whole wheat bread. Most long-term storage food is from $9,000 to $10,000, one person, 1 year. At Joseph's Kitchen, it's 2 people, 1 year, about $2,000. Then you decide whether you want to have food for one person, 1 year, 2 people, 1 year, 4 people, 1 year, or 6 people, 1 year, all at josephskitchen.com. That's right, about $1,000 per person per year at josephskitchen.com. josephskitchen.com.
Well, we're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Side Springs Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. We'll get right back with Pastor Carl as he's telling us today. He's telling us some cold, hard facts. But just real quickly, please, folks, do pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. We help people from all walks of life, and they're from, you know, some of them are just poor people, some of them are homeless. It's about 50-50, but we really do need your help. We need to restock over there. While our donations are solid, the supporters that have been helping us for years, they haven't been able to bring up their donations. As you know, folks, everything is went up. Anyway, all donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart, of course. If you don't wish to help the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime, as you are listening, and donations keep us on the air. You can donate online, Cash App, mail a check or money order, all the normal things, over the phone. Find all the information at prophecyhour.com. And now we're back with the cold, hard facts. Are you there with me, Carl?
Oh, yes, sir, brother, and thank you for letting me do this tonight.
Oh, amen.
I hope it doesn't get you kicked off the air.
No, it won't get me kicked off the air at all. I was really shocked because not very many people go into the... Believe me, so far from what you put out that I've listened to, about 34 minutes of it, I totally agree with, and I know these things, but I was just... I just tell you the truth, I was kind of surprised to see, go on, give it to him.
Yeah, probably to hear a Baptist preacher talk about it from the pulpit. And yeah. I call out the Baptist denomination and Assembly of God and the Roman Catholics and the Lutherans and the Methodists, and I told people I'm an equal opportunity basher when it comes to spitting on the Word of God by holding to the traditions of men. Does that make sense?
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I don't care who's doing it. If I know it's happening, then I will sweetly, historically, biblically, contextually show you in God's Word, black and white. Let me get on with it because I got a lot of stuff to share. So the point is, Jesus confronts the rabbis for all of this. And to this day, I use the example of Rosh Hashanah. The Jews still do. Tradition. We don't know why it's the new year, but we do. History tells us. Most people don't have time to do that kind of deep research. That Jewish professor in the Hebrew school of the school of Hebrew in Jerusalem, he did, and there's an article on the internet. But anyway, that's just a setup for where I'm going. So Jesus is adamant about this. Well, so I took them back to March 31st, the day the world calls Easter. Okay, now I've never used that term Easter as long as I've been the pastor in this church, and I've been the pastor there for 38 years, brother. And I've always called it Resurrection Sunday. I started off sweetly and quietly and just saying that, never uttering the word Easter. And a lot of people caught on, and then down through the years I started preaching and teaching and then digging and studying. Then the internet was born, and then I could go back to the ancient sources all the way up through modern linguistic scholarship, the encyclopedias of the world, the museums of the world, the archaeology of the world, and what I uncovered is mind-blowing, considering what the churches are doing today. But March 31st of this year, it was Easter. Now, the thing is, Jesus was not crucified on Easter, and I'll explain to your audience that doesn't understand. He wasn't resurrected on Easter. He was crucified on Passover, resurrected on the Feast of First Fruits, which always happens the first day after the first Sabbath, right after Passover. So it all happens together there, and we know that from the Bible, and we know it from that week of Passover and what happened. All right, this year, the Passover falls 4 weeks after Easter. So people, you know, come to church and say, hey, we're celebrating resurrection of Jesus. Well, I tell our church, yeah, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus every single Lord's Day. That's why we worship on the Lord's Day. You worship any day you want. If you're in Jesus, you're keeping the Sabbath. If you're worshiping in spirit and truth, it could be any day of the week you want. The Bible says that. Paul says that. But the point is, on March 31st this year, it was declared Easter, and I'm going to tell the people how that, it's out of Babylon, and Constantine is the one that declared it and trashed the Jews horribly while he was doing it, and this is in writing, it's in his handwriting, with his signature. It's been translated down through the years by early church fathers, all the way down to the linguist of today. You can read it. It will blow you away. Constantine was no Christian in his heart. He might have claimed to be, but I'm going to tell you why he did that in a moment. But when you hear what he said, it'll just blow your mind. But the bottom line is, on that March 31st, that's when Joe Biden declared it to be the National Day of Transgender Visibility. Now, brother, listen to the irony of this. So Easter, when we find out where that came from, I'm going to skip ahead a minute and tell you, but and then we'll come back and unravel it. But the bottom line is, let me tell you the history of this. Joe Biden, the very next day, caught heck from Donald Trump, from pastors all over. How dare you trash Easter by saying that it's Transgender Visibility Day? Now, folks, I don't hate transgenders. This is not an attack on transgender people. I'm just saying what God's Word says. I'm saying what Biden said. I'm saying what Trump said. I'm saying what pastors have said. And the bottom line is they went ballistic because they were saying, how dare you do that on our Easter, the resurrection of Jesus? Well, first of all, they're wrong. Jesus didn't rise on Easter. He certainly didn't rise, if you extrapolate this year's calendar back to 2,000 years, he didn't rise on March 31st. It didn't. It's 4 weeks from now is when Passover is. Anyway, but the thing is, now let's get to this. Biden claimed the next day, he said, I didn't say that. I didn't do that. Well, he did. His name's on the declaration. It's on the White House. Well, his spokesperson came out, the woman, I can't remember her name right now, but she came out, she said, well, he really didn't say it. And what she meant by that was, Obama, in 2009, he's the first one to issue that edict, that proclamation of Transgender Visibility Day. Biden was just re-upping it. But a proclamation of a president is not law. So when Trump went in, you never really heard about these things because he didn't issue those proclamations. Not that he's an angel, but the bottom line is Biden reinstituted it this year. It fell right on the time that the churches of the world, most all of them, sadly, were celebrating the resurrection of Jesus on that day. Okay, now let me jump ahead. What I showed the church was, I said, let me tell you about this Easter. This is truth, brother. I can name, I brought 7 or 8 renowned scholars to the pulpit, read to my church, but in Zev's book, he's got 5 chapters on this whole thing I'm talking about tonight. He names a dozen more, and he's so thorough. He even gives people that disagree. He gives them a word in his books, too, like I do, and Zev and I talk about that all the time. But anyway, the bottom line is, here's how it happened. There was a people, the Canaanites, the oldest religious pagan
celebration in the Bible is Baal. Okay? The Canaanites are famous for that. Baal. And it ripped throughout the whole Levant in the Mediterranean world, the cradle of civilization, Mesopotamia, Baal. And God says over and over, you do not worship Baal. Do not worship Baal. But they did. Bottom line is, the Canaanites finally went seafaring. They finally took to ships and went all over the Mediterranean, exploring lands and conquering lands. To the world, they became known as the Phoenicians. A lot of people don't know that the Phoenicians are nothing more than the Canaanites. Well, guess what they brought with them? They brought their gods and goddesses, Baal, and the goddesses that he had, one of them being Astarte or Asherah or Ishtar. Okay, and those names changed down through the years from the Sumerian culture to the Akkadian culture to the Chaldean culture to the Babylonian culture. But the most prominent name that it was ever known by, that goddess, was Ishtar, the goddess of fertility, the goddess of power, the goddess of war. She's known for, these historians say this now, brother, all of them, she's known for taking dominance over the other gods by unseating the gods to take their power. Well, Ishtar, translated in the Old English to Oestre, from there it went to Estrata. The Germans picked it up. By the time the Roman Empire comes to power, they have conquered what we know as the British Isles, where the Phoenicians landed, brought their gods. There are seven altars archaeologically discovered to Ishtar in Great Britain. And that's where Beltane originated in London, the worship of Baal. I mean, you know, in our modern world, that holiday is still celebrated all over the world. Well, the bottom line is there were 10 mines, T-I-N, 10 mines all over there. So when Rome conquered the world, or their part of the world, they took those islands to get that 10, but they also brought those gods and goddesses into Rome. That's what they did. Rome was a bunch of pagans. And they had people from all over the world living there, so they let all their religions in. They basically had a First Amendment, you know, you can worship or not worship, you worship whatever you want, just obey our laws and keep the peace. So that's what they did. Well, the most exalted day in all of the Roman Empire, by the time you got into the 300s AD, was the worship of Oestre, what we now call in our more modern English, Easter, all right? Oestre, Easter. But that's the name that came from Ishtar, which was also Asherah or Astarte and connected to Baal. So their main holiday was Easter because it was a huge, like a Mardi Gras thing. It was a huge springtime festival of debauchery and sex and fertility and power and usurping power over the other gods. And that's what it was all about. It was the most popular holiday in the Roman Empire. Well, now we get into the late Roman period. In the 300s, Christians were being thrown to the lions, and the nation was in a shambles. It was ruled by two emperors. Basically, it was in civil war. And Constantine and another emperor fought for power of the entire Roman Empire, and Constantine won. One of the first things he did in 325 AD was to stop the persecution of Christians. He was trying to bring the empire back together, and to try to bring the pagans and the Christians and the Jews. Most of the early Jews that were in the early Christian churches had left because the church was becoming more and more secular and more Gentile, and was basically ignoring a lot of the Jewish heritage of the church. And so all of that was going on. Constantine called a big conclave called the Council of Nicaea, the Nicene Council. He sat down and took leaders from all over the empire and said to them, and you can read it in Zev's book, you can read his words. He said, listen, we are going to
stop this worshiping of Jesus on Passover and those stupid Jewish feasts. Those Jewish people are stupid. They're ignorant. How can they know? They're the ones that killed Jesus. That's where that comes from today. You hear people talk about it. I guess Constantine forgot it was the Roman emperors and a Roman governor and a whole crowd of Gentiles and Jews crying, crucify him. But he says they're Christ killers, they're murderers, they're liars. He just trashed them with anti-Semitism. And he said, so from now on, the Christian church throughout the Roman Empire will celebrate their resurrection of Jesus on our holiest of day. And he meant in the Roman Empire. It is Easter. He said it, Easter. He didn't say Passover. He said, forget that Passover junk. He said, we're going to go with Easter. Now, the pagans can celebrate Ishtar if they want. The Christians can celebrate resurrection of Jesus. But that's going to be the holiday that everybody comes together. Now, brother, that's how the calendar got changed. That's where we are. That's why that Easter always falls on a different date than the real resurrection of Jesus Christ, which was in the Feast of First Fruits. So all of that came about. Now, get this. And I know I've said a lot. A lot of people are saying, no, that's not true. Let me tell you what. Richard Dawkins, the most famous pagan atheist on the planet, years ago, in the early 2000s, he wrote an article saying everything I just said. Connecting Astarte and Ashtaroth, and he just read the same ancient sources and modern sources and the linguistic sources and the archaeological sources that I have read, and he said, listen, Easter is connected to all of those goddesses, and he was making fun of Christians for not even knowing it. He said, you guys are worshiping on a pagan holiday that's been pushed upon you by Constantine for 1700 years, and none of you even change it. He said, you don't know what you're doing. So what happens now? You can go to Google right now and put in, is Ishtar related to Easter? And the first two or three pages, you'll see article after article on conservative Christian sites saying, no, Ishtar is not related to Easter. Well, excuse me, you are gaslighting the churches. You are lying and deceiving to the churches because all of history says it is connected. We've got archaeological remains that prove it. But they were gaslighting the church. Why? Because the atheist Richard Dawkins called them out, made the connections, and embarrassed them. And they held to their traditions and spit on the Word of God. And so to this day, we still celebrate Easter, a pagan holiday. And guess what the historians tell us? Ishtar was the goddess of transgenderism, brother. She says, I am man, I am woman. I am all genders. And the priests, who were known as Gala, G-A-L-A, they dressed in women's clothes and spoke with women's voices and engaged in homosexual relationships to worship Ishtar. That's what it's all about. And Biden declared this last Easter, which I told our church, I said, that's pretty fitting, isn't it? Pretty ironic. Declared Transgender Visibility Day. He might as well have said Ishtar Visibility Day on Easter. So the church is just wrapped up in this tradition and they don't even know it. So I took my church to Jeremiah 44 because these historians, they all say that they say, look, the word Ishtar is not in the Bible like that, but it is alluded to because she was most commonly known through the Akkadian, Sumerian, Chaldean, and Babylonian cultures as the Queen of Heaven. Jeremiah 44, Babylon is getting ready to conquer Jerusalem and Judah because they've sinned against God. And one of the sins they were committing, Jeremiah 44, they were baking cakes and doing prayers to Ishtar, Easter, and they called her the Queen of Heaven 4 or 5 times. They were worshiping her. They got mad at God and said, every time we worship her, we get blessed as a nation. When we worship God, all kind of calamities happen to us. It says that in Jeremiah 44, and Jeremiah said, this is why God's bringing his judgment on you. Now, brother, remember, Babylon, Rosh Hashanah, Babylon, Ishtar, Rome, Constantine, Easter, the stupid Jews, all of that is packed into Easter rather than celebrating Passover and Feast of First Fruits. Then you go to the book of Revelation, chapter 18, it starts off. I'm paraphrasing, but this is what it says. You can read the first 10 or 12 verses yourself, folks. God says, I'm pouring out my wrath on Mystery Babylon, where it all started. And he goes on and on, and he says, my people need to come out of her. And then Mystery Babylon speaks as a woman, and she says, I am queen of heaven. I sit on my throne, and there's nothing you can do about it. And the Bible says God laughs and becomes her judge and destroys her. It's right there in the Word of God, brother. It's all through. It's in history. It's in archaeology. The Phoenicians, the Canaanites, the Roman Emperor, the Roman Empire. Easter, 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 Ishtar, Oestre. Now we've got signs on churches. Come to our Ishtar services. We'll have Easter egg hunts on the church ground. Some of them even say, we've got the bunny coming to see all the children during Sunday school. I've seen these signs myself, brother. They're in the Southern Baptist denomination. They're in the Assembly of God denominations. They're in some of the most powerful evangelical denominations. It's holding to these ancient pagan traditions. So you people ask, well, what do you do, Carl, at Easter? We have a worship service like we do every Sunday, and we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. But then on Passover, we have another big blowout. But what are we doing? Why are you doing it? We don't call it an Easter service. We call it our Resurrection Sunday service, because every Sunday is resurrection. And I often preach this stuff with guests there. I did this last Easter, and I told them, but come back in 4 weeks. We're going to have a big blowout Passover celebration and Feast of First Fruits. And so people have seen it. People have been saved by this. People on the internet have written me and said, oh my gosh, the way you explained it and the resources you used, and on and on and on. I see we're running out of time. I know you have things you might want to say or ask, but people, please listen to it. I just glossed over it. Listen to that hour and 10 minutes. It goes by quickly, I promise, if you're driving down the road. And get Zeb's book. You can read it. You can have it. You can see the resources. He uses a dozen resources that I didn't use. I didn't want to just copy his book from the pulpit. So I did my own research and found about 7 or 8 more that could go with Zeb's dozen. I'm telling you, we have been lied to, brother. And Christians and pastors don't know it. But I tell people, we don't go around trashing other Christians or pastors. We don't judge them. We just let them know the truth, and what they do with it's up to them. Because 1,700 years of tradition has nullified the Word of God in this area. And so what has happened is, I grew up under the Easter tradition. My wife did too. And all the trappings of bunnies and eggs and baskets and everything, that none of that's in the Bible. None of it, except for the Queen of Heaven, who they are celebrating Easter with. And God said, this is why I'm taking you into captivity. This is the straw that broke the camel's back. Babylon will now be your lords and masters, where it all began, in Babylon. And they were taken captive, brother. And Revelation 18 says, I'm coming with my wrath on this spirit of Babylon that will sweep the earth in the last days. But Babylon will kick back and say, wait a minute. I'm the Queen of Heaven. You can't touch me. God says, watch.
Yeah, amen. And amen. Wow. Let me say this real quick, Carl. Folks, this is, you want another witness on this, I can give you another witness that a lot of you listen to. Jonathan Cahn wrote a book called The Return of the Gods, and he said what Carl said about Easter and the transgender, he says that. So you can find it online, but Carl's witness here in this video, you need to share it, you need to watch it, and Zeb's book, Blood Alliance, yeah, it's dynamite too. I'm just so really thrilled to hear you putting this out, Carl, that I'm just ecstatic with it. Back to you. I really, you said it.
Well, thank you. Brother, if you have questions, I'll answer them. I know we're almost out of time. May I say a prayer in Hebrew? I just want to pray.
Go ahead. Right ahead.
I'm going to pray from my heart. And I speak a little Hebrew, especially prayer and language, Hebrew prayer and worship language. And so I want to pray. I'm going to pray it in Hebrew, but I will translate it in English as I go along so everybody can enjoy. But listen to this language that the Old Testament was written in. I'm just going to speak my heart. Adon, Adon, O Lord, O Lord. Me rosh Atabore Hashamayim Ve'et Ha'aretz. O Lord, from the beginning, you are the creator of the heaven and the earth. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam Melech Ha'kayim. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe. You are King of life itself. Yahweh Elohim El Shaddai, Yeshua Teka, Be Yeshua HaMashiach Adonai. Lord God, Creator, God Almighty, thank you for giving us salvation, eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Adonai Shimka Ad Olam, Shemi Yefafe. Shimka Ad Olam, Shemi Yefafe. O Lord, your name is great forever. And what a beautiful name it is. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach Adonai HaKabod Batahenu. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, our hope, our faith is in you. We trust you. Amen.
And amen. Wow, powerful. This is one of the most, folks, this is one of the most powerful programs that in a long time. What I would like for you to do is, you wonder how you can help us. Well, you know, help the Word of Yahweh. Share this radio program. Share it to your social media. Share, in fact, you can get that YouTube link and share that to your social media, just like I did before I came on this program. You need to share these things because we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. But things could happen to people any day, just like it happened to me. All of a sudden, I had cancer. Wow, the Father kept me alive. But here's the point. We never know how much time that we can have, or we do have. Get this message out, because we need it. We just need to wake up to people. Carl, you got about a minute to say goodbye. You were such a blessing, brother. Thanks for being on the program with me.
It's my honor, brother. You've been a blessing of my life for decades now. I love you so much, and your people, thank you for having me. CarlGallops.com is where people can find me, and they can listen to that message. And then subscribe to my YouTube channel, because then you'll get dings every time I put a new thing up there, and I usually put several things a week.
Well, amen and amen. Amen. That's what folks need. You need to do that. Thanks for being on with me. I love you, brother, and we'll talk again. I'm looking forward to it, as always.
Love you too, brother. Thank you.
All right. You be blessed. Well, folks, that was Pastor Carl Gallops. I was kind of surprised by the message because he hails under being a Southern Baptist preacher, but he's been honest, always is honest, and he'll tell you the truth, just like he just told us with us. And there is another witness to that. Jonathan Cahn wrote a book, Return of the Gods. It's in there too. But Zeb Borat, Blood Alliance. Get the books. Anyway, pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. Pray about supporting this ministry. We do need your help. You can donate online, Cash App, mail a check, or money order. Give a donation over the phone. Find all the information where? ProphecyHour.com. So, folks, Lord, you must remember there is only one true God. He is your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way of the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because when you do that, you're praying for Yeshua's return, because there will never be any real peace until he does. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, Yahweh, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, that you would please bless and keep the people that are listening, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would please, please, please be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Well, until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom. You all be blessed.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.